Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani. From LA, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through many, many platforms, including iTunes and YouTube and Stitcher and Blog Talk and Mixcloud and Listen Notes and Blueberry. And I just discovered a couple more the other day. So who knows where we are listening to? We're all over the world. All of our video casts and podcasts are saved for your later on-demand listening pleasure, including, of course, our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. And if that's too hard to remember, you could also try caregiverdave.com. That's a little easier. And our goal here is to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Yes. And we have an exciting show planned for you today. Two of the best guests I think we've ever had on. It's Adrian and myself. And our guest couldn't make it. Something came up. She had to babysit a grandchild. Can you imagine, Adrian, a grandchild bumping us? Come on. Today we'll be interviewing us. And we actually put links out on Facebook to make this our very first live show in a very long time. You can actually call in. Not call in, but you can go to the link that's on Facebook. And you can join us, and you can ask us anything you want. So we also talk about grief and loss here. And the one thing we know about caregivers, by the way, is that they're caring and sacrificial. And they have a tiny little problem. They're very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Imagine that. And that's why 30% of them die before their loved ones do, and 60% become hospitalized needing a caregiver of their own. This is a problem. Well, we can learn something from the airlines, who tell us in the event of an emergency, put your mask on first before your loved one. And what an amazing metaphor, huh? Take care of you first, but not out of selfishness, out of survival. And we also talk about grief and loss, because anytime we suffer loss, everybody suffers this loss every single day. I mean, they lose a girlfriend, they lose their watch, they lose a loved one, which is not funny. They lose their health, they lose their ability to drive, whatever it is. They go through a form of grief. And it's sometimes it starts with denial. Sometimes it continues with some kind of bargaining. How can I get out of this? Then it's, you know, anger. I'm so pissed off. And then it's depression. There's nothing I can do. And then if you just hang in there, you will reach that place called acceptance. There is a light at the end of this tunnel. And for those who don't, you know, the consequences are dire. So depression is a very dangerous place to be, and if you've been in it a long time, go see your doctor, and it could be something clinical, they can get you out of it. Now, unfortunately, there's only one way out of the grief process. You got to go through it. No shortcuts. So hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you feel like you're stuck and you're ready to move on with life. And I do want to thank my last week's guest. It was a great show, and you can see that show also on caregiverscaregiver.com. We've got over 200 shows now over a four-year period. That's a lot of shows. Have I been doing it this long? How long have you been with me, Adrian? At least a couple of years, I think.
2 years, to a little more than 2 years.
Yeah. And just an update. Just got back from New York. And can you believe Adrian and I could not connect? We were both so busy. I don't know. There's something wrong with this world when you're only just a few miles. And I found out that I went to Washington Square and I was just a mile away from her house. I didn't know it. We tried to connect another time, and but you know what? We're coming back, Adrian, because I've
I
got
got sick.
so
Yeah.
many.
Yeah.
Are you just yaying me?
No, I'm agreeing.
Oh
We'll
yeah, I am coming
connect.
back. Almost all of the producers I spoke with are from New York. So I told Charlene, you have to come back. She wasn't too excited with the grimy part of New York. Everything's kind of dirty and grimy, and the sidewalks are just so crowded with people. I mean, you can't even go into the street to get into a cab. You'll get hit by a bike. And I've hit many pedestrians coming in the opposite direction, head-on collision. I'm sure there's a way to avoid them. I just haven't learned how to, not hit people when you're walking or when you're running to catch a subway. Well, welcome to the show, Adrian.
Thank you.
This isn't your first rodeo, I know, and hopefully there are people out there. Once we get used to, I think I'm going to do this from now on, just invite people to join us and call in, and maybe I'll advertise it in advance and let them know that we're going to do this, because not everyone is on Facebook at any particular moment in time. Maybe you can advertise it as well. Be a great way to connect with our audience. And why don't we talk about today? Oh, I learned something speaking to all these producers, because they're all different. They're all, some are doing magazines, some are radio, some are television, some are just syndicated TV that, nobody's ever heard of, but they've got millions of viewers. And so I tried, I've got like 88 emails to send out, and my thinking was just, we'll just send one email out to everybody, but I just couldn't do it, because everyone has just a little niche, and you need to like tailor your pitch to whatever they're doing. And so I got
Absolutely.
seven pitches now, and can you believe I've been booked on a cooking blog? Can you see the connection there? And Investors Business
Oh,
Daily, is
Charlene.
interested in me. Yeah, Charlene, and she's still a gourmet cook, putting on dinner parties with one arm and one leg tied behind her back. They thought that was an interesting story. And the financial
Yeah.
people, they're interested in the fact that caregivers are getting fired and have to quit their jobs because the responsibilities are too great at home, and that they got to start thinking of other forms of income, like starting a business in your garage or an internet business while your grandma's sleeping or whatever, or just finding out what government programs can assist you, or what VA programs, what local state, and so on. And so there are investment and financial people who are interested in our story. There are teen magazines. Can you imagine how a teen magazine would be interested in our story? Do you know what the common thread
Absolutely.
is there? Did you know, and I
We
didn't know
deal with t
this,
we deal with young caregivers.
I did not know that there are 1.6 million children and teens caring for their loved ones. And many times they,
18%.
that is
Eighteen
incredible.
percent of the caregivers in the United States are
Between the
teenagers.
ages of 8 and 18. And there's no laws protecting them. The labor laws don't protect them. Many of these kids are subject to the same stresses that we adults are. Many of them are just alone with grandma all day long while their mother or father goes to work or whatever, because there's no one else. They don't get breaks. They're lucky if they get lunch. And so they're interested in that story. And it goes on and on. There's a dog, a very popular dog blog that has millions of viewers. And he's interested because
Sure.
my wife has a dog. And it's a support dog. And that dog is the most important person in her life, next to me.
Next to you or
But I
not?
don't know, because that dog's allowed to lay on a bedspread that I am not allowed to lay on. So I don't
Oh.
know. And so I've learned a lot with this whole process. And I'm actually pitching the ones who had poker faces, who didn't seem that interested. I'm just trying, well, what can I say to them that would make them interested? And many of them are responding. So I'm growing And I'm excited. It's lots of fun, and I've been booked on like five or six already, just a couple of weeks back. And the rest of them, the bigger they are, like Good Morning America and Dr. Oz and Today and maybe even The View.
They have to pro they
Yeah, you know,
program
there's
you.
higher ups that they got to go for. And The View didn't seem interested at first, but then I have a celebrity pitch, which I thought was interesting, and I kind of use it a little bit, but I went on it more like, how can Henry Winkler, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Hillary Clinton, and Queen Latifah save your life? Just kind of hook. And then you read that they are caregivers, and there's many other celebrity caregivers, and that they've learned some things, and we can follow their advice and on what they do, and blah, blah, blah. And some of them are interested. Well, enough about me. What have you been doing, Adrian? You just got back from Fire Island, huh?
Yeah, we were out car shopping,
Car
or
shopping?
we rented a car and we've been shopping for a car for
Nobody wants a
four
car in New York, do
days.
they? There's nowhere to park.
I will pay to park. I
Okay.
found a garage I can afford.
It's like the Seinfeld episode, Well, where are we going to park the car? No, I got a spot over here.
Oh,
No,
right. Oh, no. George
George Costanza's father, right?
and
Jerry. Is it really that tough? It seemed to be.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a friend who has three vehicles and juggles them on the street every,
Like George Costanza.
daily. And that's tough. Three vehicles. That's tough.
Well, what does he want him for? I mean, does he just go around the city? Does he go to Connecticut? I mean, what's he want a car for?
He's an actor and he has jobs and gigs in other states and other locations, and then he has a business where he needs a van where he has to bring stuff with him, and
I see.
one for pleasure.
What's
So
your
he has
what's your reasons?
I have a house. Have
You
to
have
go to the house every weekend for 7 months. I have to go to the house for 7 weeks.
So you guys drive to Fire
Yeah.
Island? There's no subway to go
Well,
to?
no subway. It's too far away. There's the Long Island Railroad,
You
but
don't like
then
that?
from the railroad, you take a van to the ferry and then the ferry to Fire Island. And then there are no cars on Fire Island.
Well, I know all this doesn't sound very interesting to anybody, but I've been watching Kelly and
Well,
Ryan. They
Fire Island's
talk about this
interesting.
kind of stuff all the time, and they've got huge ratings, so maybe there's something to
Right.
it.
Right.
Anyway, I think people want to
Well,
know who you are and know
it's
who I
what makes
am.
us, it
Human.
makes us who we are.
It's the human side of us.
Right.
So I'm still shocked at the teen and you got to mature really fast when you become a child caregiver. It's like you have no life, you have no childhood, no fun, can't go out and play with the kids like everybody else. That must really scar you as a person. Someone told me
Well,
they know.
I know when I was a kid, my mother didn't want to go visit her mother in the hospital all the time, and she would send me up to the Bronx on the
How old were you?
subway. This is when the subways, I must have been about 9 or 10,
Oh my gosh, so you were one.
and this is when, and this was when, this was probably my initiation into caregiving.
Wow.
Other than my grandmother's migraines, but when she would have heart failure and she'd be hospitalized, and then there were oxygen tents. There were no cannulas. People would put in oxygen tents. So I was traumatized, many times seeing her in the state that she was in,
Wow.
never even thinking that she wasn't going to get better, but just, seeing someone in an oxygen tent as a young person is a little, scary.
So what's the
So that
solution? Is there a
was,
solution? What can we do about that?
well, I mean,
There's nothing.
it didn't really impact my life for that long.
Well, you're one of the lucky ones then.
on a regular basis, but it certainly had an impact. Is there a solution? Well, it has to be talked about, and these kids.
Could laws be passed? Labor laws?
Well, there ought to be a law for an awful lot of things in caregiving. You know that.
And New York's
I
got an
mean,
awful lot of laws,
where
don't
the
they?
invisible. We're the invisible patient. Caregivers are. Nobody thinks of taking care of us. We're just here to take care of everybody else. And whatever happens to us, until it affects the other patient, nobody really pays attention. Regardless of whether or not we lose our jobs and have to give up income and don't get any money from the state, or Medicare doesn't pay for everything. Medicaid doesn't pay for everything. So,
Yeah.
and we save the government a lot of money every year. But
We do.
I, one thing, as someone who wanted to start a space for caregivers to come and get emotional relief, I knew, and information. I did know from the very beginning I could not solve the financial problem, no matter how much money I collected. Even if you gave some respite college scholarships away, that so you could help a few people now and
Yeah.
then. But you can't solve this problem without
Yeah. Even
an awful lot of legislation.
Hawaii, started first in the nation. Hopefully it's the first and not the only. But $1,500 to every caregiver, whether you work in 40-hour job or not. And they only had a certain amount of money, and it only went as far as 35 caregivers. But it was a start, it was a pilot
It was
program.
a star. It only went as
35
far as 35 care
caregivers got $1,500 a month for a year.
per
And,
year.
for a year. Do the math. 1,500
I think
times
they overshot the
35.
mark. Why didn't they lower it to 500 a month and get more people?
What can you do with $500 a month, though? Maybe they had
Well,
to really prove that they were like destitute. But
yeah.
even with a 40-hour job, if they were making minimum wage, you still got to pay rent, you still got to buy food,
Yeah.
prescriptions, medicine. I mean, it doesn't go long, does it?
And you have to be available, so you may have to leave your job in the middle of the day for
Yeah.
an emergency.
That's why I say
And not
learn computers, learn how to start an internet business. So many businesses have
at home.
started. Yeah. I mean, what are you
Yeah.
passionate about? Ask yourself, what are you passionate about? What do you love to do? If you love to fix bikes, start a bike fixing blog or something that you can charge a membership fee. I
Or
mean, there's just so many things they can do.
even just do it in your, if it's something like bikes, fix them in your garage,
Yeah.
and you won't have to leave home. But you could do videos, instructional videos, and charge for them. The thing is, there's so much content at this point to sift through that does not charge. Where you can just watch the podcasts, not the podcasts, the videos, and learn. It's not an easy way to necessarily make money.
Yeah.
But yes, internet
Only limited by
businesses
your
are
creativity.
right. Right, and you have to find a need and fill it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you live either. Well, this is a good time
No.
for a break. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, has just released his sixth book entitled It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how.
Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through, because he is one. And he now speaks all across the country, offering caregivers his incredible caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's my life too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. We'll help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today, or buy one for your special caregiver. On sale everywhere, and at caregiverscaregiver.com.
Hey, we're back with Dave Nassani and Adrian Gruberg. And here we are, Adrian in New York and I in California. We're both enjoying 82-degree weather approximately. And I was telling you before the show, and I don't think I got an opportunity to finish, that Hawaii is coming up for me August 16th to September 8th. And that's like, how many days is that? That's 24 days. Well,
that's
apparently it's not enough. It's not enough because I have scheduled 11 events. I have 4 interviews on television. I have a radio interview, a magazine interview. I've got a conference I'm doing at the University of Hawaii. I've got another book signing and meet and greet at the University of Hawaii bookstore. I've got a caregiver group that I promised I would speak with. I've got Percy's 2 events. One is 300 medical professionals. I'm doing a breakout session for like 100 people twice. And then another caregiver session, 3,000 caregivers, same, 2 breakout sessions, 100 people.
Wow.
Each.
And that's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's like, if you do the math, that's like one event every other day. So I probably should stay another an extra week just to recuperate. But I don't think I
want to
pay the penalty.
I think you have to do that.
Oh, but the airlines, they're just so, they penalize you. And I don't know, it shouldn't be such a cheapskate. We'll see. And so New York was fun. We got to speak at NASDAQ and at the, they tell me it's the prestigious Harvard Club in New York. Got to speak there. And we got our face on the Jumbotron, which I put up over here so you can all see that if you haven't already online. And I'm just so darn proud that my wife and I, we finally got our name up in lights in Times Square. You know, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, they say. Frankie said that. Well, let's talk about caregiving and how to stay alive and how to stay out of the morgue and how to stay out of the hospital. It's unbelievable. You know, I keep quoting these statistics, 30% die and 60% get sicker. And, they're just numbers. But then I'm constantly meeting people who died and who got sicker. And I say, statistic, they became, okay, it's real. And
in my
experience, it seems like, 2 to 1 get sick over dying, but many of them get unfortunate.
But when you say they're only numbers, when you think about what that total number is.
Well, 67
in terms
million.
Of millions of people.
Let me do the math.
You're talking
on that.
About a lot of people.
Yeah.
Where it's not like, 15 people.
67 million. Times 35. God, that's 23,450,000 people die as a result of caregiving. I don't know what the number is for heart attacks or whatever, right? 30% of 67 million.
No. How did you come up with that number? How many caregivers are you figuring as caregivers?
The association, the National Association of Caregivers, say that there's 65.7 million caregivers out
right.
there. Everyone's got their own number.
I believe there are more.
Their numbers are all too low because they're not counting the kids. They're not counting the paid ones. These are just family caregivers.
Long distance, part-time.
The people that they have no idea who's out there doing it. Or the neighbor looking in on their
It's amazing how many people refuse to identify themselves as caregivers.
Yeah, why is that?
They
is that
don't,
a form of
they
denial?
Don't think, I don't know if it's shame or pride on the part of the patient, or I really don't know why they hesitate, but they may not even really know the word and what it means.
Yeah. So I think there's 10 million people in New York. So, I mean, you know, when I pitch New York stations, I do the math. I says, you know, there's 10 million populations. So roughly 30% of 10 million is 3 million. There's 3 million caregivers in New York, and about a third of them are going to die. You know, that's 1 million people are going to die. And these are, you know, could be your viewers. We could be saving some lives. And so it's a powerful argument.
Yep. And there are things, I mean, I know when I was caregiving for Steve, my health was not my primary focus. So whatever made him happy food-wise was the food that I was eating. And I was living on a diet of chocolate chip cookies and bagels and tuna fish salad. I mean, and that is not a good diet. It's just not. Yeah. I could survive on it and I might even have enjoyed it, but it's not healthy. So in terms of learning to put yourself there first with that oxygen mask, it's also taking care of yourself so that you can maintain your health through this whole thing so that you don't get sick. Because if your system doesn't have the food in it that's going to fight illness, you're going to get sick.
And, you know, everybody knows that. But what how can they stay motivated? Because, like, this morning I got up. You know, I have so much to do. And I force myself to go to the gym every week because I've got a trainer that I am paying to see because – when my back got better, the doctor says, you don't need surgery anymore. Go join a gym, work on your core. So, you know, I don't want to just stop going, but I'm supposed to be doing it throughout the week. And so I'm saying, well, you know, you can do it in between your stuff. You know, I've got at a gym right over there. You can see the barbells.
And
I was trying to motivate myself. And if I'm the caregiver's caregiver and I struggle to motivate myself to do this, how much more so the ones who are really, really struggling, you know. But I wanted to read something from my book, The Caregiver's Caregiver, or the It's My Life Too.
My Life Too.
Can't keep track of my titles.
Oh, you're so prolific.
An Attitude of Gratitude, this chapter is called, or it's a section actually. It's been said that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Humans were made to be goal-oriented. Where there is no vision, the people perish, so says Proverbs. Boredom will usually creep in if we are not striving towards a goal. Balance, however, is the necessary ingredient in any genius. Otherwise, the line that separates genius and insanity gets blurry. And I know a lot of crazy genius people.
Oh, yeah.
We get into trouble whenever we get out of balance. Too much work, too much play, too much anything makes us unbalanced. Get into the habit of turning your lemons into lemonade, which reminds me of a very old story that I will retell only for the benefit of those who may have never heard it. There was once a very optimistic boy who had an extremely positive attitude about life. He was told to go shovel out the horse manure from the barn. Well, he turned to that manure with that shovel like a madman. When asked why he was shoveling so enthusiastically, he replied, well, with all of this horse manure here, there just has to be a pony under it somewhere. Now, that's a positive attitude. I've even learned lessons from the movie Finding Nemo. that Disney movie, Dora and Marlin were trapped in the whale, if you'll recall, and they were hanging on to its uvula. Did I say that right?
Uvula.
Uvula. For their lives. Then Dora heard a voice that said, "Just let go and everything will be fine." Well, the situation was hopeless and they had nothing to lose, so they both reluctantly let go, wondering if they were falling to their death. Instead, they fell into a pool of water and then were blown out of the whale via its blowhole. Moral of the story is to always have hope, never give up, and to listen to that still small voice in our heads. I know, not very scientific, but it worked for them. And it always seems to work for Charlene and I, or me. I have a poster on my wall with a quote from Pastor Chuck Swindoll. I think he's dead now, I think. If he's not, I'm sorry. The more I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude, to me, is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. I just say a big amen to that, because I know
amen.
That to be true myself.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, with that, we're going to take another break. So don't go away. We'll be
okay.
Back.
Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve. And a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps ranging from denial, I don't believe this is happening, anger, oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening, to a form of bargaining, how can I get out of this, to depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you and ultimately an investment in them.
Hey, welcome back, Dave Nassani, the Caregiver's Caregiver, my beautiful co-host, Adrian Gruberg. I like to think that I'm the spit and she's the polish, the spit and the polish. Well, what are we going to do now, Adrian? We're the lucky caregivers because we survived, right?
Yes. I mean, I was focused.
I don't think luck had anything to do with it, by the way. I don't think luck had anything to do with it, by the way.
No, but I was sure that I was going to survive the caregiving. It never even occurred to me that
really.
I was maybe because I hadn't heard the statistics that that I was going to be one of the third that succumbed. But
on a need to know basis.
I mean,
I'm glad
they
didn't tell me what I was in store for, because I would have probably.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it would be hard work, and I knew that it would really try my patience, and I knew that I was getting into mother son territory that I really didn't want to get into, and there were a lot of things that I was aware of, but I took every day as a new day and started it fresh, and whatever the day brought, I dealt with. I never thought that the time would come where I would take no for an answer. You know, that was me.
Let me ask you about your emotions, because emotions play a big part in this. How many times during your caregiving experience did you experience anger? Was it often?
Daily? I mean, I experienced anger. I experienced anger a great deal, but
what was the common thread about
the anger?
What
I learned to do with the anger was express it in a better way. It was like, okay, I'm here and I'm here for you, but this is what I'm going to need from you now. So instead of Steve loved to bicker.
Yeah.
There was something in his personality that made him need to win every discussion, every argument, every point, every issue.
Oh, I hate
and
people like that.
That's very difficult, because he was always right. That was his personality. I'm always right. Unless you can show me, you know. So I had to, if I was going to go into this, I really did have to set my boundaries and let him know that, look, you're no picnic. I didn't put it that way, but you're no picnic. And if I got to do this, and I wanted to do this, I have to have certain things that you are going to do for me. And I needed him to stop baiting me and the petty arguments, because there were major issues that needed to be dealt with, where I really needed to be there and be all there for him and not wish him dead. There I don't care how good your marriage is, there are times you just sort of say, get out of my life, you know. It's human nature when you've just had it up to here. Yeah, I mean, and when I, you know, likewise, when I had my knee surgery this year, and I had my boyfriend here for 53 days from California. He was in New York taking care of me before I went in for surgery. I sat him down and I said, look, this isn't going to be fun. You're going to need patience, and there are times you're going to be scared, and talk to me about it. Don't keep it to yourself. And tell me when I'm out of line, and it really is sharing. You can continue to share that burden. So, you know, it helped me be a better patient. But it, as far as caregiving went, it helped me through it, because I was a referee between mother and son half the time as well. And that, between a Jewish mother and her little baby boy, you know, that was not a walk in the park.
It's not a Jewish American princess. It's a Jewish American son, a Jas.
It's a Jewish American prince.
prince.
Of course.
No, and I'm not the prince. I'm not a princess. I don't expect anyone to do anything that I wouldn't do by myself. Scrub floors, clean toilets, you name it, I'll do it. You know, dress wounds, clean up vomit, you know, empty. I can't even remember.
I get it. Let's talk about sadness. So it's okay to be angry, expect to be angry, funnel your anger into productive ways. How about sadness? Because a lot of times you say, it hurts. I feel disappointed. I feel sad. I feel unhappy. I wish whatever.
Well, I also had realistic expectations. So I knew what I was in for. I had been told up front that the cancer was going to take Steve. So despite the fact that I knew that there would be good years in there, I also knew that ultimately it would come back. And even though we never gave up hope, because there are new things on the horizon every day, and you have that, things change and you lose things. You don't just lose, you know, like you're not just losing your memory or losing your appetite or losing this or that, or your ability to drive. You are losing the person that you knew. And that person does not have to have Alzheimer's for you to lose the person that you knew. You know that well. And you have to be accepting and realistic. And I pre-grieved a lot. I knew I was going to have a loss. I knew there were going to be a lot of losses along the way. And I just allowed myself to feel them. And I shared them. I did not go through those alone. I shared them with Steve. I did not share them with... I mean, maybe I shared them with my shrink, but I also shared
them shrink
with
at the same
Steve.
Time.
Oh, sure.
But
you can't tell Steve
good advice.
Everything.
So let's talk about fear. So we should expect to be fearful. It's painful. I feel worried. I feel afraid. I feel scared. I feel whatever.
I felt a lot of that. I mean, I felt I'm not equipped to do all of this financial stuff on my own that I'm going to be left with, and how am I going to do it? I've been sheltered from some of it, and he kept saying, oh, you're smart, you'll learn how to do it. And it's like, well, that doesn't help me with the way I'm feeling right now, because right now I feel like, oh my God, I'm going to be left alone, and I'm not going to be able to take care of myself, and I'll be alone for the rest of my life, and you won't be here, and I'll miss you. And so there are all of the things that you worry about. I'm very lucky that financially I'm secure, but there are plenty of people in my position who have the worry that they don't have to worry about how they're going to manage their money. They have to be worried whether or not they're going to have any money, especially depending on how long whatever illness it is continues. So there are lots of things to be fearful about. And
yeah,
when
sure.
you that the fear also adds to the anger, you just and depression. I mean, it's all cyclical, you know.
And there's blaming too, right?
Anger is depression turned inward, and fear creates depression, and it's all
cousins.
It's a lovely ball of wax. Yeah.
About remorse and apologies. I apologize. I feel embarrassed. I'm sorry. I feel ashamed. I'm willing. Never.
I never felt ashamed. I never felt embarrassed.
Were you apologizing a lot for stuff or no?
What?
Were you apologizing for stuff a lot?
No, I was doing my best.
Good.
I mean, if I wasn't doing everything I could have done. Like, I mean, if Had I stayed out till 3 o'clock in the morning, I suppose I might have come home and apologized. But that never happened. You know, we stayed home. I think the year that year before Steve died, we missed three baseball games, three Met games on television.
We sat and we just, oh God, yes.
We have a little brick at Citi Field that, you know, I have a replica of here. I bought him that for one of his birthdays. He was a huge Met fan. He'd been a Dodger fan. And when the Dodgers left Brooklyn, forget it, wrote them off.
Like Mr. Wonderful, you're dead to me.
Totally. My father was the same with the Giants. You're dead to me. The Giants and Met fans all went to the Mets. No one went to the Yankees. Those National Leaguers went to the Mets, not the Yankees.
You still go to Met games?
So,
You still go to the ball games?
Yeah, now I go to Yankee games with him. I'm a traitor. I have to tell you the first time I posted my profile on like Match.com or one of the single sites, it was like Yankee fans need not apply. Well, that's not on there anymore.
Oh my.
I mean,
that's
now we go to
business.
Yankee games. We go to Yankee games, and I mean, I'm still a Mets fan, but it's not like I know everybody's batting average, and I don't even know the names of the players on the team anymore. There were years that Steve and I from city to city and followed the team around the East Coast.
Well, that's an important thing to have in common.
As far as Houston, I mean, I remember there was one day, and I'm sorry if I'm name dropping, but Steve and Regis Philbin were good friends. And we went to see his act in Atlantic City. And we stayed in his hotel. And we went up to his room to have lunch. And he was so jealous of Steve because he had a wife who liked baseball and actually knew baseball and understood baseball and the players. I mean, I really was into baseball. Wow. I really loved it.
You had that perfect wife.
Well, not perfect, by
now,
a long shot.
Were you ever criticized for things you did or perceived to do them wrong, or? Did they feel like you needed to apologize, stuff like that?
Steve?
Tried to make you feel
Steve
guilty.
Ever criticized me?
Steve or his mother or anybody for that matter. You know how people
Sylvia
try to make you feel guilty.
Well, Steve's mother thought the sun rose and set on me. But Steve never stopped criticizing. That he liked to bicker. So,
but you would not play along by apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry that happened.
No, I didn't bite unless there was a real reason to apologize. Like, oh God, I'm sorry I forgot the chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, okay. That was pretty much the extent of what the apologies could be like, because life was totally focused on caregiving.
Yeah.
And caregiving for me included taking care of me. It wasn't, caregiving was not exclusively taking care of them.
Well, that was very astute of you. Most people are not at that level. You were describing yourself being insecure. I just couldn't relate because I know you, and I'm saying, wow, this is a powerhouse of a woman. Who is this person? You know, and look who you've become.
Look who I've become.
And it came out of, you know, something that most people would say was a tragedy and was bad, you know. And of course it was bad. But most good things do come out of bad things.
And I try and tell people, you know, God knows on our site, you hear about a lot of loss. And there are so many in the after caregiving group. you need to let these people know there is life after caregiving.
Yeah,
it's a huge void. Huge void.
Their identity was so wrapped up in what they did and not who they are,
yes,
that when they were no longer a caregiver, they were lost. They said, oh, no, now what do I do?
There's all this time that we spent doing one thing. Oh, my God, what do I do with it now? Well, there are lots of different. What did you want to do? You know, now think about what you want to do.
And that's a foreign concept for a lot of people. Think about
for
what
a lot
I
of people.
Yeah, because yeah. What I want to do is what you want to do. You know, it's like
right, exactly.
What do you want to do? Where do you want to eat?
What do you want to
where
do,
you
Marty?
Eat? No, where yeah. do you want to eat? Don't you hate people like that? Well, where do you want to eat?
I mean, we've been in shopping for the car. It's been, well, I know what color car I want, but you're driving it too. Oh. So, what color car do you really want? You know, and I mean, it's only a vehicle. So, yes, I have a particular aesthetic. I'm a designer, and my aesthetic is important to me. But so's my relationship. And I could say, okay, we'll go with the silver gray instead of the pearl. You know, I mean, it's not that important. I mean, pick your battles and be who you are. I sound like Oprah. Be your authentic self. You know, that's.
Find out what mountain you want to die on.
Well.
As your last stand, or at least try.
I mean, I would like to go back to certain places that I've visited in my past lives. And experience them again in a new way.
Will that happen?
And I don't know if I'll ever get back to living in, you know, to spending time in West Africa.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that's in the back of my mind.
I didn't know you were in
West Africa. I don't know if I'll ever spend the summer in Paris. You know, these are things that are my fantasies. And
Paris is doable. I don't know about Africa, but don't ever give up on
Africa. I lived in Africa. Yeah. Africa's doable.
It's so far away and it's so hard, isn't it? I mean, my image of Africa is the climate and you know, the jungle.
Well, where I was, it was really primitive and I loved it and I would go back in a minute.
Really?
I loved it. So, I mean, we all have places and I painted there. Mm. So, I mean, I was thriving when I was in Africa. No TV when I was in Africa.
New York is so different.
New York is another world.
Well, listen, it's time. The time just flies on by. Can't believe this is 2018. Where did the millennium go, you know, in S2K or Y2K?
Well, it's on my shelf right here, my New Year's card from the year 2000 when the world was going to end.
So what do we, how do we get a hold of you if somebody wants to speak with you or write you something or read your memoirs?
Yeah, my memoirs are, it's good. That's something I'm working on. It's Adrienne, Adrienne, at thecaregiverspace.org. And thecaregiverspace.org is the website. And all of the links to social media are on that page. And we've got great stories, magazine articles. When I say magazine articles, I mean it's a video magazine a digital magazine that we sort of put together. And then there's the Facebook page, which is very vibrant.
Yes, it is. And I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver. Dave, thecaregiverscaregiver.com or caregiverscaregiver.com. Or caregiverdave.com.
Yes.
I got a million of them.
Oh, my GoDaddy account is a trip.
the one I really want,
the
one I really want is not available.
Because I've got, I'm protecting so many.
I know. You know, some people want like $100,000 for a domain name. Amazing. God bless them. But
I know. I know.
And my last name is
Nasani.
Try
putting.
And Nasani.com is not available. And there aren't that many Nasanis in the world. What were you going to say? Can you hear me? I have Nasani.tv.
Nasani.com without.
Yeah, so that my.
You
my
have Nasani.tv.
I have Nasani.tv, which is, you know, the next best thing. Com would be better. That way I can. My email is dave@nasani.tv, and I don't have to repeat the Dave, you know. Everyone should have their last name.com, I think. So Gruberger.com. Then you can be adrian@gruberger.com. Check it out. See
it's
if it's
available. Gruberg. There's no burger on the end of it.
Adrian Gruberg. You're right. I always get your name mixed up with Peter Hertzberger.
It's easy. There are lots of burgers.
I'll either call him Hertzberg or I'll call you Gruberger.
Yeah. Well.
But okay, so look for see if Gruberg.com is available, and then you can have a cool email.
I'm not sure if Gruberg.com is available, but I have
that's a common name, isn't it?
Adrian.Gruberg.
That's a common name.
No.
Right, well, till next time. Next week, we'll try to help me out by publicizing that they can call on.
Call in.
Call in. Not call in, but what's the term when you have.
Well, there's the chat, and they can ask questions, and we can answer them.
That'd be fun. I used to do that a long time ago, it got too stressful, but I'm thinking it might not be stressful now if they just kind of do it the way they do
different.
It. Different. Yeah, it was a different platform before, and it was very stressful. And so now that I'm doing all these new things, I'm saying, well, what's one more new thing? What the heck, you know? I'm already out of my comfort zone.
You're glibber.
My what?
Yeah. You're more comfortable with it. And I mean, you're glibber. You can be more glib.
And like I said before, if you could make it in New York, you could do anything. God bless you, and we'll see you next week, Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll try that and see if it works. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.